And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Do we have a great show for you today? Pete is out of the studio. Be looking forward to talking to him tomorrow. But Corey and I are going to be having lots of fun with a great guest. We got Kevin Mattson in the studio today. You want to talk about a guy that does it all from freshwater bass to saltwater bass to big tuna and more. Going to be a great show. Lots of information, lots of fun, and they're still biting. It's going to be a great one. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's sport fishing voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Hookup Radio Network.
Pass the gravy on Thursday and skip the madness on Friday. The Better Black Friday Sell-A-Thon is on all weekend long at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's not just better, it's the best place to be this Black Friday. Get huge Black Friday savings across the entire Ford lineup. That's F-150, Ranger, Fusion, and Escape. Even the completely reimagined 2020 Explorer. Now's your chance for big cash back, low lease payments, or 0% financing on a brand new Ford. Right now, get $9,250 trade assist on F-150 XLT. That's $9,250 bonus cash when you trade toward F-150. Hurry in or miss out. The Better Black Friday Sell-A-Thon is on now, but not for long. See your San Diego County Ford dealers today.
Trade assist requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after new retail delivery. Customer must have owned vehicle for a minimum of 30 days prior to trade-in. Requires Ford credit financing. Not all will qualify. Eligible vehicles must have arrived at dealership at least 61 days prior to sale. Supply is limited. Valid on F-150 XLT. For all offers, take new retail delivery when authorized Ford dealer stock by 12/2/19. See vehicle qualifications and receipt details.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have FishDope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain! Plus, use this special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And Rick, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and listeners too.
Corey, it was awesome, man. Yeah, I hope the same. Everybody was well fed and well footballed and well fished and
right?
Had a good time. It was a little more soggy than we're used to, but all good.
Yeah, I guess we got to take the soggy every once in a while.
Yeah, it was great, man. And I hope the same. And yeah, what a great time going on here. We got the headphones just blasted there. Great time. Great fishing still, which is wild. I mean, we'll kind of wait and see what happens as we get, you know, our local guys get back to fishing after having, you know, a little bit on the extreme side of weather the last few days. But I mean, literally leading up to the day before this weather moved in, local tuna fishing still wild. A great yellowfin tuna fishing, a really good mix of nice bluefin, you know, 40 to 75 pounders, even some 100 pounders in what is now late November. So,
Rick, if I have to remind you, it's actually the last day in November.
There you go. If once this thing straightens out, which I think our weather's supposed to over the next couple of days, I don't think I would be a bit surprised for the window to open up and the boys to go right back out and get right back to catching. Like,
it'll be nice to
yeah,
see.
This has been a fun one, man. It's been a really fun one. And speaking of fun one, a really fun guest in here today, and this was a unique scenario in that, you know, Pete was asking myself and Corey, you know, hey, we had a spot open up and we're looking for somebody to fund. You got any suggestions? And Corey came through with the total call, and our guy that's sitting right next to us, and Kevin Mattson. Kevin, we're stoked to have you on here, buddy. Good morning.
I'm here, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, Corey said the same thing. Like, I got a bud who's a wild man and fishes absolutely everything there is to go fishing, and I mean, what a great call. You know,
sounds like a crazy story. Seriously, everything from shore pounding calicos. He was doing some shore pounding calicos in Baja this fall and summer, and from that to some of the first Baja trips. Well, not first, but some of the first coolest trips ever made to Baja were literally in a 10 skiff that we lifted into the launch and literally attach the outboard and go. And
I love it. Like, I can't wait for all the stories that will come. And I think that, Kevin, your story is so cool. And, Corey, you know, you guys, like, the type of fishing you're doing is, you know, you guys both have just made some lifetime rad fun fishing and not on a millionaire budget. You know, you weren't necessarily doing, you know, these mega trips, you know, with a yacht and support vessels. It was, you know, a couple of buds and some cold ones and, you know, throw the boat in the back of your shoulder and go fishing. And
yeah. I mean, I feel so fortunate nowadays. You know, I'm on the Excel. I do these long-range trips. I get to travel, and I come from such humble beginnings. You know what I mean? The tin boat thing for me was everything. It's like I made the most of what we had. And the opportunity down there to catch those big fish, I told Corey when I met him, I said, dude, this is going to be the funnest calico fishing you've ever done. And it was. It was pretty good. You see no boats, and that was the days before, you know, no internet, no radio. We had no cell phone, no nothing.
That's so cool. And visually casting to 40 to 50-pound sea bass, you know, swimming through the kelp.
Unreal.
And, yeah, some pretty darn neat stuff.
Now, you know, I mean, talking about those, you know, those days and those times, I know a lot of that is, you know, integral in Corey in your, you know, development of baits. It's through things like that, I'm sure, trips like that, and you know, you changed the game as far as that calico bass fishing in the, you know, having the weedless lures and the predecessor to that being the slug. And I know, Kev, that was a really big deal for you. I mean, that was kind of like the birthplace of that, were those trips, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, when I first met him, we started talking colors right out of the gate. I said, I like the brighter colors for the sea bass. And I was telling him I was sight fishing these sea bass.
Now, how are you sight fishing sea bass from a tin boat?
We'd see them come
across. No tower.
They come across the surface, and you see them waking.
Really?
And you got to be real quiet. You keep your feet, like, totally positioned, and you drift just silently. And we'd see them on the surface, and there's no pointing at them. Once you point at them, they're gone.
I think that was one of the worst nightmares. When you take somebody that's never seen it,
sure,
and they actually swing their hand
degrees. There's one right there.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly. And I tell people, I go, the first thing you do is to go, okay, I got a sea bass right here. He's swimming left to right. He's going 12 to 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're on the same clock thing, like finding a kelp.
Yeah.
And making that perfect underhanded pitch right in front of him. And then the whole thing with the plastic was a stop and go. You wind it real quick, and then you stop it. Wind it real quick and stop it. And it was a total trigger. I was explaining it to Corey, and I hooked one.
And this is in the kelp forest, like in between kelp stalks. There's a lane, and
yeah,
boom, I got
a lot of long,
by.
Long alleyways and points. You know, it's kind of like freshwater bass. You start realizing, okay, they're on this up current corner. You know, and Corey had fished Point Loma forever, so he started talking to me. Okay, current, look at this, look at that. We both just kind of built on it, and just it went from there. And when he came out with the slug, I was like, oh my god, this is a complete game changer. You know, it's like on the heavy string with a big hook and started landing some big ones. The first time I threw it, I had like a 9 and a handful of 7s. And yeah, I came back. I said, oh, my God, Corey, this thing is a game changer.
Now, do you think that sea bass fishery still exists and there's less patience? I mean, like, does that fish still swim through the kelp in La Jolla and Point Loma and IB and is fishable the same way? Is
I
it just
so.
A different time? Is it different mode of fish?
I think so. I think so. It's one of those things where you got to be real patient.
Of course.
You got to be real patient.
Yeah.
And you got to be quiet. So, like, no radio, no talking, no foot stomping. And I'd sit up on the bench in the tin boat because if I stood down in the hole there, it would creak and crack, and they split instantly.
It's
weird, too, when you point at them. I swear to God, man, it's like a bird flying over a bass in freshwater. They're gone. So it's like everything has to be perfect, and you really get one flip at them.
Okay.
And I've seen the same thing locally, too. Like you mentioned local, you know, 2-3 sea bass on you, and you visually see them cast out, and you actually, with the Spectra now, you put your reel in the gear, and it's like a gunshot went off, mm-hmm. man. They literally flare, just like Kevin mentioned. They do not like that.
That fish, when it's piled up on a giant squid nest, eating 60-pound in a dropper loop,
there's a little more forgiveness.
Such a different animal than when it's in its element, snooping around the kelp, you know, trying to sneak up on bait fish. You know, that they're two completely different things. You know, when they're in their different modes, I think that is so cool.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the neat things Kevin's done of recent. I mean, Punta Baja and Central Baja fishing for calicos from the beach, actually. Really neat stuff. Yeah. Surf fishing.
I know I've seen, you know, the Instagram and things like that. But, yeah, you do a lot of, whether it be surf fishing or just fishing that zone. But, I mean, you like to pound the pavement and do things that way, too.
And good ones.
Yeah, I like that whole approach from the shore.
Totally.
You know what I mean? You could target a specific rock and fish it from every angle. And I like the whole adventure of it, too, getting away from people and everything and being out here in the middle of nowhere. I wouldn't say pioneering, but you're kind of pioneering if you don't even have a destination. You know, sometimes we don't even know where we're going. I'll go, there's too much swell right here. Where are we going next? Okay, look at that other bank over there. It looks like it's a little mellower. Let's go try that. And we work our way down the shoreline until we find a little magic spot. And some of these places are amazing. I mean, you have a legitimate shot at a 10-plus. You know, I mean, I've seen some big ones in there, you know. 13 pounders, like, come right up and hook them, and just, you can't land them, big ones.
That's unbelievable. And it's one of those things that, you know, we spend, you know, a calico bass guy that's so avid to it spends so much effort and issue and danger trying to get their boat into there to really cast to the exact same zone that you're standing with your feet on dry land.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of dangerous.
Sure.
You know, you can get blown off the rocks. I've been blown off the rocks, but it's one of those risk versus rewards.
Yeah.
And if you're as fanatical as I kind of am about calico bass and stuff like that, you'll really, you know, put yourself out there to catch a 10-pounder.
And it's the ultimate throwback to what you do when we were all kids. You
yes.
know, I mean, that's how everything started, I'm sure, for most all of us, is you start walking the bank of the lake or walking the bank or walking the dock or whatever it is, and to be able to take everything you learn and all the big baits and technique and gear and figure out how those fish move and then go do virtually the same thing but try to target, you know, a lifetime trophy is pretty darn cool.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Point Loma. You know, it's like my dad took me to work, and I fished all them piers and docks and spotties way back, you know, back in the scampi and scrounger days. So, like, being able to walk the bank and throw the weedless bait on 80-pound with the right gear and hooking these fish that you can actually land, you know,
it's almost like cheating.
It is kind of like cheating. It is. So, if you get them on the big hook, you got them pinned. It's just a matter of keeping it tight, and hopefully it doesn't get you under a rock.
I dig it. Yeah,
but,
I mean, it so much.
Back in the mono days, you'd lose them. You know, 20- and 30-pound mono, just you're done. Too much stretch, get under a rock, you're through.
I was so stoked when Corey and Pete said that you were coming on the show, and then I kind of started thinking about it, you know, on the drive-in, like, trying to figure out the things to talk to Kevin about fishing-wise for the show is not easily done in 2 hours. And I mean that a lot in regards to, you know, our listeners are what drive a lot of the show. And, like, Kevin likes to do every type of fishing that there is to do. And is you know, I mean, we've seen it. Like, you're very good at it, and it's fun. I mean, there's very few people who, you know, make it to the top level of doing things, whether it be freshwater bass fishing, you know, being able to consistently catch a double digit bass. You know, that's like that's one of those things that people spend a lifetime of doing.
Trying to figure out if
you put the effort and time and energy and all those things into it, it's a very learnable thing. But then often that same guy is not hopping on an 18 day and going to fish for 300 pounders and then also going and fishing calico bass and fishing big fish in your small boat. You know, I know you do a lot of fishing in a small skiff, and I just think it's going to be such a fun show talking to a guy that just, you love it. And Kevin doesn't own a a fishing, a long range boat, or have a, you know, a rodman. It's just a dude that absolutely loves it and so much cool wealth and knowledge to share. And we're so stoked to have you join us for a couple hours, man. It's going to be a lot of fun today.
Yeah. And that's right, Rick, that's not even mentioned. You just got off the XL, two different trips, right?
Yeah.
Excellent Wahoo fishing. Yeah. And was it two years ago with the Blue Marlin?
Yeah.
Two and a half years ago?
Yeah, I think it was more 3, 4. Honestly, I don't even remember the year.
Three years ago, a Blue Marlin out of the Ranger Glitter boat.
Ranger Bass boat.
Out in front of Mission Bay, all by yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that was a major goal, man. I wanted that thing so bad. You know what I mean? You talk about adventures and the ultimate goals. I just go, man, I want a Blue Marlin. You know?
Right. So I mean, we've got a lot to talk about, truly.
You're not kidding. And we'll talk that, and we'll talk more, and lots of fishing, and just a great opportunity with a guy that has done a lot of fishing. And your quest for big fish in small boats like that, I think, is a rad story and lots of fun. And we're just going to be looking forward to talking, fishing, and having a good time, Corey.
We're going to have a fun couple hours of Kevin Mattson in studio. You want to give us a shout, ask Kevin a question. And we haven't even talked about the bay fish. And this guy's introduced me to some crazy stuff we'll talk about during the show. But give us a shout, 833-288-0973. That's your intro to give us a shout. You're going to have your chance of winning a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing.
Hey, couldn't ask for that.
Right?
Awesome.
I mean, that's totally rad. So give us a shout again, 833-288-0973. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have more with Kevin Mattson when we come back on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
It's long range time at the Ridge and Lower Banks. Time to get your gear. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Big fish need big tackle, and that's why we recommend the Shimano Talica for tuna, Trinidad for wahoo, matched with a Therese rod. Choosing the right size Talica, Trinidad, and Therese is the trick, and that's where we come in. With more experience and expertise on long range fishing than anyone, Fisherman's Landing Tackle has the Shimano gear for your trip. Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, or on the web at saltwatertackle.com. Fisherman's Landing is the top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will expand your fishing experience. We offer the finest open party trips, the best charter boats available, and our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing is now a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day and full-day open party trips. Book online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge ling cod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank DePresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there, too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
When bad weather and rough seas send other boats back to the dock, Seakeeper allows you to fish longer and fish harder, even in the roughest conditions. Here's great news. If your boat is between 27 and 32 feet, Seakeeper has you stabilized. The Seakeeper 2 is optimized to eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on boats up to 35 feet. Even better, this Seakeeper 2 is so small it can fit inside a customized leaning post and operate off battery power, making installation fast and easy. Check out the Seakeeper demo boat at upcoming shows and arrange a free test ride on the boat with the Seakeeper team. Seakeeper has changed the lives of many Southern California anglers, including Pete Gray, and will allow you to stay on the fishing grounds when others need to head back to port. To learn more about how Seakeeper can change your life on the water and book your free demo ride, visit seakeeper.com/take a ride. Think about it. Eliminate up to 95% of boat roll on your boat. Once you feel it, you'll never boat without it. Seakeeper.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And like I said, you want to give us a shout, 833-288-0973 in studio with Kevin Mattson. That's your chance to win a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's.
So you alluded to a little bit, we kind of touched on it a teeny bit, but that's the thing that I think is a story that needs to be told because I think it's so wild. So, Kevin, you have your boat that you do a ton of fishing on, whether it be freshwater or saltwater, is a Ranger bass boat. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, Ranger bass boat, absolutely at home on San V, but that's not where your boat lives. Your boat goes wherever it is that you want to go fishing, inshore, offshore, whatever. You charge with that thing.
Well, it's the Great Lakes Fisherman, so it has higher sides.
It's a little deeper V.
Yeah, well, it's made for big water.
Yeah.
Right.
It's originally a muskie boat and a walleye boat.
Okay.
And I fished out of those a little bit in Minnesota. I got family back in Minnesota, so I was thinking, I go, God, this would be a great boat, man. I could run this inshore. And
I could do all kinds of things with this.
Bass, and then little by little, I started going offshore and a little further and started catching yellowfin out of it and bluefin and whatnot. And then I was like, man, I think I'd get a marlin out of this thing. And I trolled for stripers. You know, I've had stripers up in the jigs a few times and that thing. I haven't got a striper yet, but once those blue marlin came around, I go, man, that'd be the ultimate.
Yeah, this is something I have to do.
I have to do.
The opportunity was right with condition and that fish was on the coast. It never really was before. I mean, that was just an oddity of year, and that El Nino and that fish pushed up and had to do it.
Well, it's one of those things like we talked about, like who did you know that caught a blue marlin locally?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
You know,
it just doesn't happen.
You know, nobody got them. You know, a few guys have baited swords, and there's, you know, opas and stuff like that. But, I mean, a blue marlin?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a Cabo fish. That's not a San Diego fish.
Yeah.
It's not a San Diego fish out of a bass boat.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of like, it's like one of those crown jewel type things where I was just like, man. But I put a lot of time into it, too. I went fishless trip after trip after trip. You know, I was trolling marauders, too, trying to catch one of them wahoo, and putting out the skirted jigs when I'd run a little faster, the big plugs, and it was just like a lightning strike. It was so, I mean, honestly, it was just a lucky bite.
And to be by yourself, honestly, to be by yourself and
Wait, you did that solo?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Right.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Well, I was running solo a lot.
Okay.
You know, I'd just go. I couldn't get people to go with me.
I can 100% believe that you couldn't get guys to go.
Nobody wanted to go.
Fishing in the bass boat with you.
No, I mean, and it wasn't like a numbers game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, babe, maybe we'll get a bite.
Of course.
Maybe we'll see one. Oh, man, I don't want to spend that money on gas. And then you get your ass kicked in that boat. Like, you legitimately, you got to hold onto a rope. If you're the passenger,
okay.
you got a bow line, you hold onto the rope. And then I got to trim it way up and be able to drive through the swell. And some days it was just so bumpy and rough. And I mean, I had a loop where I'd go out on the 9 and I'd go all the way up. I'd go all the way up west and take it to the north to be able to come back in with a northwest wind.
Yeah, so you're driving the right direction.
So I had to drive it. And that was really the only way that I could loop it. You know?
I love that.
It was crazy.
You know, you said something there, though, that was just the thing that you glossed over. But it is the truth when it comes to trophy hunting, and that's about putting your time in. And when it's all over, the only thing people talk about is the fact that Kevin went out solo in a Ranger and got a blue marlin. You don't talk about the countless effort that you put into figuring out time and tackle and gear and approach, like you're talking about with the boat and all the trips you swung and miss. And, mm-hmm. and that's a big part about trophy hunting, is it's very easy to check out an Instagram page and see a guy holding double digits and see a guy holding big trophies. But it's, you know, the work effort that goes into that is everything. And catching a big fish oftentimes means striking out a bunch. And you might get to the point where you get things figured out that you catch them consistently, but getting there's no such thing as doing that easy. You know, it's all about the time and effort. And I can't imagine the amount of effort that went into that, because it's not like you grew up as a blue marlin fisherman and had this lifetime of background to go off of. You had to go and figure it out.
Well, it's one of those things in the long range boats, you know, you see them bite the troll jigs enough, I just go, you know what, that thing would eat a skirted jig.
They
eat the marauders, and you've seen it too. We get triples on the stripers and whatnot. I just go, you know what, my shot is just dragging jigs. And for me, I was just eyeballing the water. That particular day, or that night, I pulled the jigs in.
Okay.
And I go, okay, I'm done, another day, no fish, you know, I'm shaking my head. I go, why am I beating my head against the wall, you know? Is this really going to be worth it? You know, can this possibly happen? And I'm driving the boat in, and I come across the cleanest water I'd seen all day. Bunch of flyers take off, more flyers than I'd seen all day.
This is talking after the jigs are out of the water. You're on your way home.
Well, I'm on my way in.
Okay.
You know, and I got no lights in the boat, and you know, radio, you know, and I'm basically doing it Ponga style, right? Uh-huh. I have nothing. And I was like, I got to go in. The sun's already dipped in the horizon. There's a little bit of light in the sky.
Summertime, so you got an hour to make it in before it's pitch
black.
Well,
an hour to get close up to shore to kind of totally orientate, you know, where I'm at. And I saw these flyers take off. And honestly, that was just the key. I go, man, that's more flyers than I've seen all day. And I'm like, are you just going to fold up and not put the jigs out right now and give it another 20 minutes? And I was shaking my head. I go, you know what? I'm going to put them out. So I ran the catchy tackle spinners where I could run uh-huh. faster.
And maybe pick off a wahoo at the same time.
Exactly. And sure. I was running down swell. And I got it up. I was running them pretty quick, too. They would stay in the water, but they'd still come up and pop. And I remember looking back, and I go, God, those jigs look perfect right now. And I turn around, and that thing just went off. Bam! And it stayed down. And I was thinking, oh, man, wahoo, just the way it stayed down. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the blue marlin just comes out and just does the full-on breach, and I just go, oh, my God.
I did it.
Well, my first thought was, I don't have a big enough boat. Like,
yeah.
Legitimately, when it came out of the water, I was just like, I don't think I can get that fish in my boat. Like, what am I going to do?
And how big is the Ranger?
17-foot Ranger, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's
we're out there vying around that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got low sides, too. Like, I have to keep it trimmed up
sure.
when I drive in. You got to be really aware of the swell. So, for me, like, being able to drive it through the ocean, just the way that I was able to drive it's the challenge in itself, too, let alone, you know, catch a marlin
out
of it. Yeah, so when I hooked it, it just and it stayed down, too. Just and I just kept running the boat, make sure I hung him. You know, all
yeah,
of a sudden, he comes out of the water. Yeah, keep it tight. And I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to do? You know, I take it out of the holder, and I walk up to the bow, and I just sat down on the bow because
okay.
I had my bass swivel seat up front that I'd taken out.
So
I'd already thought in my mind, if I hooked one, I'm going to use that as a rod holder
yeah.
to sit down and basically a fighting chair, because you got no leverage. You're trying to fight
yeah.
this thing, and there's so much sway. And get, you know, I've fallen over the side a couple times in the boat. You know, it's there's so much wave action.
Sure.
And I just let him tow the boat.
Yeah, the ultimate drag is like fighting a big
yes,
tuna from the skiff.
Exactly.
Like, he tows the boat around,
yep.
the boat applies the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep, just like Arapaima and the Amazon do the same thing. You hook them in those boats, and you just let them tow the boat for 45 minutes or an hour around. It was the same thing,
that's
the same
awesome.
Same process.
Stay know. Attached.
Yes.
That's
keep
the
it tight.
Goal.
Keep it
yeah.
tight. Keep it tight. Yeah.
Which that your, you know, your idea of using that catchy spinner is genius in the approach, keeping it in the water, maybe picking off a wahoo. But then as soon as you do come tight, now becomes your worst enemy with him shaking his head. Now the lure's got all kinds of leverage, so you got to do everything you can to do exactly that, keep that thing tight.
Keep
now,
it tight.
When he's shaking his head, if you're not on it, getting everything tight, he's got 16 ounces of leverage to shake that hook. So your job of which – you know, now the boat provides the you keeping everything tight. I just think it's so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and it was like being on the Excel, you know what I mean? You hook a wahoo, it's keep it tight, high gear, keep it tight. So it's like the whole time I'm just like, keep it tight. You know, for 2.5 hours I was on that thing, you know, and then it went straight down and died. So I took the foregrip on my reel and just tuck it under my arm, and I put it over my trolling motor in the bow and was down on one knee in low gear and just turning the handle, and the wave action would come up. and I'd get one or two wines on it, and the wave action would come. It was just like being on the sport boat.
That is so cool.
Yeah, crazy story. By yourself, into the dark. I mean, because you obviously hooked it after sundown.
Yeah, it's pitch black.
And a 2.5-hour flight, I mean, it doesn't take a mathematician to...
Yeah.
Now, what do you do when a big blue marlin comes up that expired on the line and you're solo in the Ranger? How does the rest of the story happen?
Just, I had the gaff next to me in the bow. And I, honestly, at that point, I still thought it might have been alive. I had no idea.
Sure.
So then I was debating, you know, I wanted to release it, honestly, and I didn't want to kill it. And I was thinking, God, what am I going to do when this thing comes up? You know,
yeah.
I mean, one gaff, the whole nine yards, you know, I'll stick it in the shoulder and maybe...
Just hope.
You know, and see what happens.
Yeah.
and when it came up, it just, the bill came up, and then it straightened out, and then the tail came up. And I saw how much, you know, length it had.
Oh, man.
And I just, and it didn't move. So I stuck it in the shoulder. It didn't move. And then the next thing was, how am I possibly going to get this into the boat? Which.
Solo.
I couldn't do. Yeah. I couldn't pull it over the side. I couldn't get any leverage. I tried to use the cleats. I had the rope, and I had prepared for that too. I had a bow line and I had a stern line for tying off the tail because I figured I'd tie it to the side of the boat, you know, old man in the sea style.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I ended up doing. I ended up tying the troll motor in the front.
Santiago'd the thing all the way
down. Yeah, and then I couldn't get the boat on plane, so I was just, I'd drift one way and drift another as I was driving through the swell, and I was worried about flipping the boat and just.
What an unreal
story. It was just, you know, honestly, a couple times I had to stop and refuel, you know, because I have a 20-gallon can, and then I have 4 5-gallon cans across the stern, so I had to refill the 20-gallon can, you know, so I was like. That was pretty gnarly too. Stopping and trying to refill that and taking on water
like an old man in the sea kind of
story.
That's
exactly what it is, man. Yeah, I dig it.
It's pretty crazy.
And as if the marlin stuff and the calico bass stuff like isn't enough. This in the 80s when I was on the bait boat, I'd catch shortfin corvina, you know, from the bait boat at night and the lights. But Kevin is actually the one who educated me, and we kept it so quiet in the 90s. We'll talk more about this, but. The grunion actually run in the bay.
Yeah.
And the shortfin corvina actually topwater. We were doing this in the 90s.
I love it, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got a lot to touch on.
You're not kidding, man. Like you said, great show, lots of fun, lots of great stories just like that. And if you got questions, man, we want to hear from you. Give us a call this morning, 833-288-0973. With that said, we're going to find out what's going on in the Baja. We got the cast man standing by this morning.
And today, Rick, the Catch Report is sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafted knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out... The new Fish Pro Series from Anza Knives, made from high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge and is easy to sharpen. The Fish Pro Series are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details, or get the Fish Pro Series at Fisherman's Processing.
Hey, we got the cast, man. What's up, cast? Buenos dias.
Hey, good morning, boys. I guess Pete's in Ohio for Thanksgiving.
Pete is traveling home from Ohio. You got that. I'm sure it was nice and warm back there for Thanksgiving. Nice sunny tropical spot to be spending the holiday.
Yeah, just like it is here, right?
Yeah, exactly. I guess, you know, that's usually my favorite thing to do every Thanksgiving is to send a picture to Pete of it, you know, being 80 degrees and fish biting and things like that when he's back in Ohio. But this year we had nothing for him. It was cold and rainy and wet, so I didn't get to send my favorite sunny San Diego photo.
Yeah, I know, and I OD'd on the turkey and the stuffing, but I'm recuperating, man. Anyway, not much to report this week. Just the reports I got in were from San Jose del Cabo and Cabo San Lucas. And there's another big toad tuna taken at the Inner Gordo this past week. 375 pounds caught on a live bonita.
Wow. Jeez, 375?
Yeah, 375. And, you know, they're there, but you got to have a lot of patience and you got to work for it. And the guys that put in the time and the effort, you know, they're being rewarded. But, my God, I don't even want to even think about hooking up a big fish like that. Those things hurt big time. But
that's a real one.
Yeah, but anyway, that's kind of the big fishes in the Inner Gordo if you got to want, you know, spend the time and the effort. Otherwise, you move up inside the Sea of Cortez. You go up there toward the Iman, the San Luis, and Vinarama, and those banks up there, they're getting football-sized tuna, an occasional 40 or 50-pounder. Dorado around, not real big numbers, but, they, you know, they're pretty good quality size that they're getting right now. you know, between 10 and 20 pounds, which are nice-sized Dorado. And if you go around the Pacific side, there's more Dorado on that side. You know, coming out of Cabo, you make a right, go up there toward the Golden Gate, or stay straight out toward the Jaime. A lot of striped marlin still in that area, and boats are doing well around the striped marlin, and, of course, the Dorado there. But that's a report for this week, and just another shout-out. Anybody wants to join Corey and I on that El Salto trip, January 10 to 14? I got four spots left.
Said, Cass, the tickets are absolutely ridiculously affordable. It's roughly $50 each way to Culiacan.
That's unbelievable.
Yes.
And it's so easy, and I've done that trip with Cass a couple of times. Corey, I know you've done the trip many times down there. It's a very easy flight utilizing CBX. You park in the U.S. side. You walk across. There's no hassle, no issue.
Very chill.
You're picked up, you know, by the lodge, Billy Chapman Senior's, you know, operation. They pick you up, and they escort you to a great spot. It's fun food.
Beautiful.
It's fun fishing. It's really cool, and, you know, I the guy that I really encourage to go down there is not as much the hardcore freshwater guy, but man, if you're a guy that likes chucking and winding lures and just in for a cool different experience, you will love Salto. You do not need to be an expert freshwater bass fisherman to go down there and have a great time.
Far from it, really. I mean, it's like you're mentioning, you know, throwing cranks or weedless baits off the bank or whatever you want to do. Whatever means you want to do it, you're going to be able to do it. You're a Senko guy, let's go do it.
Yeah.
And at lunchtime and at dinner, we'll tip a margarita or whatever it be, your beverage of choice, and have a great time.
It's very mellow, very, very cool guys driving the Pongas. It's fun fishing and
safe as can be.
It's great.
Those lodges on El Salto have never had an issue.
Yeah.
Like, capitalized never.
Yeah, it's a great time. And like I said, whether you're a guy that absolutely loves freshwater fishing or you just want a cool, different, unique experience, it's not a ton of dough and a really fun trip. And, man, I'm jealous. I know you guys are going to have a blast. Cass, if somebody wants to join you on that one or any of the great trips that you put together, how do we find you?
Well, give me a call at 800-593-6510, or you can check us out on the web at www.casttours.com. And look forward to talk to you boys next Saturday, and have a good week.
I appreciate that very much, Cass. Thanks a lot for the report. We'll look forward to talking to you next Saturday.
Yeah, definitely good stuff, Cass. And the report today is sponsored by Blue Guard Innovations, making smart bilge pumps, switches, and sensors designed to protect you, your vessel, and the environment. If your boat lives in the water and you've not installed the BG1 oil and fuel detector, you could be risking thousands in fines. The BG1 will detect oil in your bilge before you dump it in the water. Just one of the several switches and sensors made by Blue Guard Innovations. Check BGI, that's BlueBGI.com, or get their affordable products at San Diego Marine Exchange.
Right on, I dig it. Well, phones are packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to Kevin. Why don't we do just that and jump into the phones, Corey?
Let's do it. Let's talk to Ed. Ed, calling from Mira Mesa. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Ed.
What's up, Ed?
Hi, guys. Hey, I finally decided to buy a new reel, there's so many out there in that, and what I'm looking for is something I can use maybe inshore and maybe a little outshore for, you know, maybe 30 pound or something like that. And also I was looking at low profile versus the conventional. Do you have any ideas? I know you guys are Shimano kind of based in that, but are there any other reels that might be comparable to something I could use?
That's a great
question. $300.
I like the Komodo 350.
And that's a low profile style.
Yeah.
Heavy duty, like a bass reel on steroids style.
Pretty much, yeah. Like what kind of fishing are you thinking about doing? Are you fishing bait? Are you throwing lures? Like what are you considering?
Yeah, it'd be bait.
Oh, okay. Well, you could throw a bait on that 350, fish it with 30 pound. You could fish it with 40. I wouldn't go much heavier than that. You could drop down, too, and throw plastics and whatnot or drift halibut with it as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that style of reel, whether it be a Komodo or a Tranks or that style of reel, has really come into its own for, you know, people have always asked that in the tackle. So I want an all-around reel. I want something to do everything. Well, there, you know, when you get to a certain point, there is no all-around that does everything, but those reels have really started to bridge that gap in that they are very good artificial. And I just mean the bass reel on steroids, the heavy duty low profile reel, whether it be a Komodo, whether it be a Tranks, whether it be something along those lines, in that you have a reel that you can fish 65-pound braid and have the perfect reel for going in and catching the, you know, fishing a 1-ounce lead head and a 5-inch MC swim bait and catching
fishing
a calico
kelp.
Bass, and then the very next day, you know, fly line and a sardine for a yellowfin,
or
a stealth rig for catching a wahoo, or you
popper
know,
fishing.
Yeah, I think exactly. I mean, that changed the game on the way, especially the size yellowfin we were catching this year. You know, putting a small popper or a small stick bait on there. So I think that's a great call. Whether you like you say, you do that Komodo, a Tranks, I think a fun one. And if you were looking for just a straight, regular, conventional reel that's under $300. I would also maybe think about a Torium in a star drag reel that's going to be good for casting. And if your trips were a lot of focused around that bigger tuna fishing, a reel that we're excited about in the shop is that new Speedmaster, too. You know, two speed, under $300. So some really good options. I like Kev's call on that. And a great thing to do is just go into the shop, you know, go into your local shop, be able to put all those things in your hand. Feel the free spool, feel the comfort, you know, that kind of thing. Ed, appreciate the phone call very much.
That was a good one for sure. Let's jump back into it. Let's talk to John. John calling from Los Alamitos this morning. Good morning, John.
What's up, John?
Good morning, guys. My question is for Kevin. What's the biggest calico bass you caught, and would you catch it on?
Great question.
I've got a couple over 10 that I put on the scale. The biggest one I've got's a 10-4. Caught it on Corey's weedless bait. I've got a few others. I got one on the surface iron at San Martin that we didn't have a scale. I just eyeballing that thing. It had to have been 10. It looked like it might have been 11. I don't know. Everybody in the skiff agreed it was the biggest bass they'd ever seen.
I could tell you this, John. I could tell you personally, I have seen the biggest calico I've ever seen in my life on a qualifier skiff trip with Kevin.
Yeah.
It came up on the slug, and I promise you it was well over 12 pounds, if not 13 or more.
Yeah.
It was literally like a grouper, and it was two rod lengths from us. It was so clear. It came up and literally rolled on the slug like it ate it, and Kevin set the hook. I would have too, man. It looked like it ate the slug.
No, this was your fish.
Your
fish. Okay.
And it literally came up and rolled on it. The slug had fallen just a foot below. You couldn't see the slug below the fish.
Yeah.
And he was so big that he blocked out the sun.
Yes.
He couldn't see the lure.
The slug came flying on the other side of the boat, on the other side of the skiff, and literally that calico pivoted 180 degrees one way and then the other way looking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and the line jumped.
Yes.
When he slashed on it, I seen the big slash with his mouth open, and the line jumped. He hit the line. I mean, he was trying to get it, but you know the slug zigs and it zags. You know, zigged when he zagged and he missed it.
But it looked like he ate it.
I know.
Yes.
I know. And Corey's, oh, my God. Corey was freaking out. Look at that thing. And it was black. It looked like a little black sea bass.
It was
so
honest
cool.
to God, way over 12 pounds.
It was a giant.
Yes, a giant. Yeah. I'll remember forever. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? That was a good learning experience.
Because
that was on the first skiff run on the first day.
Literally, like the first 5 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
You know what I mean? You're on the boat. You're all fired up. And you see that, and you just... So the next trip, like that, it bothered me that I didn't connect with that thing. It really, really bothered me. So the next trip, I go, you know what? You're going to be mellow. You're going to maintain. You're going to do the right thing. You're going to convert the next one. The next chance you get on one of those, you're going to convert it. And the next skiff trip, the next year is when I got one of the 10s. I got a 10-2 or whatever. Ate the weedless, but this time I made sure he ate it, turned, took the line, I set up on him, and I got him.
Weedless swim bait or the slug?
The next year I was fishing the weedless swim bait.
Okay, and the weedless swim bait, Corey, you came out with that after the slug?
So the slug, we've talked about it. The slug was so difficult to rig. It was the spring in the slug and then the hook through the spring, and you got to make the right cuts and the right rigging, and the whole thing was really... a debacle for the average guy.
Everything done right, a great lure, but very difficult to get to that.
It really is.
Somewhat difficult to get to that point.
So the owner Beast hook had come out, and I'm like, holy shenanigans. Like, I could get this thing to work and make it for the average common, you know, average guy to be able to rig and fish. And that's where it all came from. It started with the slug. And then it's like trying to explain not only the rigging, but the fishability, how to fish it, the slug. And then the weedless swim bait was so easy to rig, and all you had to do was throw it out and wind it in. It was like self-explanatory, really. And that's where it all took off from, was from these experiences.
Sure.
These trips and these awesome times. I mean, from the shore pounding and a 10-boat skiff fishing to the started with the qualifier skiff trips.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Kevin,
yeah.
Do you think the slug was a better, quote-unquote, big fish lure, or was it just that was the thing that was available? Like, you know, given the opportunity and you're in your Ranger and some killer stretch of Baja, or you're on a skiff trip where you know an opportunity at catching a 10-pounder is there, do you pick up a weedless over a slug or vice versa, or are they two different lures for different times?
Two pretty much different lures.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the weedless, though, is when they eat it, it doesn't ball up like the slug. That's the bad thing about the slug. There's so much plastic involved. Mm-hmm. You miss a lot of them. But the thing about the slug is sometimes you can get back in that pocket that you can't cast to with the weedless because the slug has so much more weight to it.
Okay.
And you can fire it out there an 80-pound. And you either tip up skipping that thing or you can sink it down and just give it a snap with the reel. The thing with that thing is a lot of guys will fish it with the rod tip. It's more a reel thing where you're just giving it a snap with the reel, zigzag.
And let that plastic fall and
let
do
it fall.
Thing.
And what I'll do, too, is I'll throw it on a boiler rock and I'll let the current just take it around the stone. These big fish will be sitting behind a rock, and that slug will go behind it. And then right when I see my line go behind the stone, I'll snap it with the reel. So he's been looking at it.
And yeah, now it's trying to swim away from him.
Yep.
And that scenario, if you had thrown a lead-headed swim bait or the weedless swim bait, it would have you could have made 20 casts, but it would have gone from in the zone to out of the zone
as
quick as you got in the zone.
Totally.
And so with that slug, the way he just described it,
you can close your eyes and visualize every bit of that.
It's
mesmerizing. That's awesome.
Mesmerizing, and it's tantalizing. They can't handle it.
Yeah. Well, it's another tool.
Sure.
It's another tool in the toolbox.
I love it, man. Total, this stuff gets me so fired up.
You got it. You and me both, buddy. Hey, John, appreciate the phone call very much.
All right. Hey, when we come back and Let's Talk Hookup, we're going to have more with Kevin Matz and all this cool stuff from Blue Marlin to Calico Bass. When we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the network.
When it comes to Southern California sport fishing, two names stand out: Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Check out the all-new Speedmaster. It has the same configuration as the popular Shimano Talica series for half the price. The Speedmaster is great for local bluefin tuna, Guadalupe yellowfin tuna, and much more. The Shimano Speedmaster 2-speed reel is available in a 12 or 16 size and makes the perfect gift for the angler on your list. Visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego or on the web at saltwatertackle.com.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color. Clarity. Detail. Maui Jim.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
All right, hey, it's time to talk about great gear for Shimano. Can't stop thinking about all that great calico bass fishing, Corey, that we've been talking about. And with that, like we had talked about for Ed, not a better reel made in the Shimano lineup for fishing that style of fishing. Slugs and all those weedless baits like that Tranx 3 and 400.
Smooth butter and the gearing and the drag to back it up.
It's a great reel and so user-friendly. And one thing that we don't often talk about is how user-friendly that reel is for someone who's maybe not an expert fisherman. There's a very, very easy-to-use braking system where if you're maybe taking your son or daughter or somebody fishing with you that doesn't go much, you can crack the side plate open, turn all the brakes on, and somebody with almost no casting ability can confidently make casts with a conventional reel and not have problems. And as soon as your skill set starts to increase, you back those drags back off, and then you can fire that thing for distance like a pro. It's a great reel, easy to use, and easy on the pocketbook. Check it out at your local tackle store, or for more information, check out Shimano.com.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
This program is paid for by Let's Talk Hookup.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. We're having an awesome time today. Lots of good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We're talking fishing, talking fun, haven't scratched the surface about long-range fishing. Again, if you got questions you'd like to talk to Kevin, whether it be big fish and small boats or surf fish and everything in between, if you're able to get a word in edgewise between me and Corey bugging him for questions, we want to hear from you. 833-288-0973 is how you reach us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, and the phone's been packed.
They have, absolutely. And let's talk to Rich. Rich calling from Bradley this morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Rich.
What's up, Rich?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rick.
What's up,
I'm hoping maybe Kevin can talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts that he's learned the hard way for casting big baits for largemouth bass, and maybe some of the things that he's had to go through with rigging techniques and things that might cut our learning curve down a little bit.
That's a great one, Rich. And you know what's cool, Rich, is a lot of that is parallel to calico bass big baits, too. Mm-hmm. Right,
yep,
Kev?
Yep. So what are you throwing, Rich? Are you throwing, like, the HUD? Are you throwing the 250? Like, what's your go-to? Like, what are you thinking?
I'm going to let you lead with that. What would you start out with, maybe for a beginner that doesn't have much experience with big baits?
I'd probably throw something like the HUD, you know, something you can just chuck and wind. And with that bait, you want to kind of bump it into something or bump it off the bottom. And it's just a matter of going, I'm going to catch one on this and I'm going to throw it until I do.
All soft plastic swim, you know, traditional swim bait style of lure.
Yeah, just chuck and wind.
Okay.
Simple. Just chuck and wind. And I'd probably be throwing that on like 20 pound mono. Maybe 30. You can drop down depending on water clarity. The water's dirty. You can bump it up to 30. I wouldn't go any lighter than 20. I mean, so I know some guys throw them on 12 and stuff like that in Miramar where the water's crystal clear where they used to, but I like 20 for that.
Okay.
For the glider, I like throwing straight 80 braid. I just like the reaction that I get out of the bait. And off-colored water, the line doesn't matter. And the whole thing with that is guys don't like that braid because they break baits off, but they're whipping them. The thing about that whip with that braid, when you come tight to it, you'll snap it off. It's more of a follow-through. You know, you do an exaggerated shoulder follow-through on the braid, you're able to make a better cast. But as far as mono, you can kind of whip a HUD. You can whip it, but you can't get away with that with braid. And another thing with it is retying often. If you think you should retie, retie. I retie constantly on the braid.
Great tip. Yeah.
And I do a 12-turn San Diego on the straight tie on the braid. And honestly, I retie 20 times a day.
And why wouldn't you go with a short top shot with the braid and the glide bait?
I mean,
that's a good question.
Right? I was fishing fluoro with it, and I still do. But
yeah,
the thing about the fluoro is it's almost like a piece of wire.
Right.
It's so stiff, it kind of kills it, whereas the braid is soft. What I do is I take a marker, and I'll mark out the braid green and black just to kind of take away the white. I mean, that's just a confidence thing. Maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. But honestly, as much as anything, it's retying that knot, because the thing about the glider is if you tie it on straight braid with 12-turn San Diego, that glider's got so much side-to-side action, it actually cuts the braid, and it'll part exactly where your loop is, where you tie your knot. So I've had it happen to me,
sure,
and I've had to swim for it. You know, with my 250, I'm not just going to leave it there. I do a lot of underhand pitching with it as well. Guys think you got to whip these baits way offshore. Most of your bites are a rod length off the bank. You know, so a lot of what I'm doing is I'm trying to underhand it and make the bait land tail first. When it enters the water, there's no splash. You want to avoid the big slap on the side. I like it where it kind of goes, choop, and you could just kind of work it from there and pitch it up. I like to fish it in the wind as well, when the wind's blowing towards you, when on a windy bank.
You don't want to give him any reason to spook. You just want him to turn around and, oh, my God, there's a trout there. I better
exactly.
eat that thing or it's going to go away.
Yeah, and race it down the bank. You can stop it and start it and stop and start. And then what I like to do is right at the rod tip, I'll run it off the bank, and then I'll kind of figure eight it. And I've got video of them coming half out of the water and eating it right at my rod tip.
Now, you're
That's
figurating
crazy.
It when there's a follower, or do you figurate it every
time? I figurate
time?
It every time.
Even if there's not, you didn't see one, but
didn't even see one.
You don't know if he's below
pretty
your
much,
boat going to rush out.
If I'm in a good area, yeah. almost every time.
Okay.
And a lot of them, I've just been shooting the breeze with somebody, and I'll lift it out of the water, and half in, half out of the water, one will just breach on it.
Oh.
Boom! And I got straight 80, so I just lift them right onto the bank.
Those are crazy good
great
tips.
Info. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Rich, I hope that helps you out, buddy. Good luck when you make it back to the lake. Appreciate the phone call very much.
All right. Let's talk to Jim. Jim calling from National City. Good morning and welcome to the show this morning, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. Great show. Kevin there, man, you've got a ton of stories I would love to hear from you, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
About falling off the side of that 17-foot Ranger.
Yeah, falling over a couple of times. Oh, man, fighting tuna in the bow, and you kind of get complacent. Next thing you know, you're in the water. I've had it happen a couple times.
That's wild.
But, actually, I thought, Ricky, you went to the Grand Tetons, and that was going to be my question. But we'll save that for when you come back from that trip, which sounds like it's going to be just outstanding. And, Corey, I guess I want to ask you, I fish freshwater bass. I'll start up here pretty soon. My friend Doug, who works on the San Diego, he's the cook there, and he just kills the bass at Otay. Otay's his favorite lake, you know. I can't give you no spots, but crawdad.
Yeah. Keep him tight to the vest, Jim.
Yeah.
I learned that from Rick, you know.
Yes.
But he's mainly a crawdad fisherman, me too, but it's amazing that these skippers, like Doug works on the boat, when he has the weekend off, he'll be at the lake for 8, 10, I mean, from sunrise to sunset. Now, last year he got a 14-pounder at Otay, and he had several days. Now, here's a guy that fishes from sunup to sunset, and not every time, but, you know, I would say 90% of the times he's out there with crawdads. And he had like 30, 40 fish days. And I'm talking fish from, you know, 2-3 pounds to 5 to 8 9-pounders.
Yeah,
but
definitely, Jim.
And guys that know Doug, you know, they like to get on to San Diego just to talk to him, you know. Now, Taro's the same way. He has the day off. Boom. He's in his bass boat. Fishing all day long.
Yeah.
Peterson's another guy. He has a day off. Boom. He's in his bass boat fishing all day long for bass. I mean, these guys are incredible.
It's amazing, Jim. That's what, you know, a lot of our San Diego sport fleet does that. In fact, the guy we had on here last week, and John Collins, is kind of the king of it.
Sure.
And crawdad fishing. And
Stoats Ferry, same.
It's exact. Both guys last weekend. Yeah. So, you know, you talk about John Collins, he mentioned somewhere over 300 over 10 pounds, and that's no joke, man.
Yeah.
That's a crawdad's a big bait, big fish kind
of
deal.
He's a crawdad guy.
Those are real ones too, not taking pictures of somebody
mm-hmm.
else's fish.
Yeah,
you know, like that's the real deal.
That's good stuff, Jim, for sure.
The cool thing about that too is like that's a fishery that. It's certainly not a lost art because guys obviously, you know, still do it all the time. But, you know, it's different. And, the trout swim bait, I mean, you know, whether it means more to somebody because it's an artificial and that is thing. But if you're a guy that's, you know, getting into it, wanting to catch a really big one, man, there probably isn't a better way than to become proficient fishing crayfish. I mean, I don't think you could. You know, put pencil to paper and draw a better way to catch a big one consistently.
And it's the whole setup. It's like we talked a little bit on the show with John. It's the whole knowing the spot, but yet knowing how to meter the fish and how to set up on them. It's a hunt. It truly is.
I got out with Gene DePrius.
Okay.
The guy who got the 20-out Hodges on the crawdad.
Right.
Hit that guy up. I was there the day he caught that thing. And I jumped up in his boat, and I actually held the 20-pounder. It was actually one of those things you remember forever.
That's legitimate.
Yeah, it was. And I hit him up and I go, hey, you want to go fishing one day? We'll just shoot the breeze in the boat and go fishing. So we go fishing. You know, I'm throwing big baits. I'm throwing the 250 and at Hodges and whatnot. And he just looks at me and goes, you seem like you're pretty serious about this big bass thing, and why aren't you throwing crawdads? And I just looked at him. I was like, well, I probably should, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, well, yeah, if you want that 14 to 17 or bigger, you know, you're probably going to get it on a crawdad. I mean, I know guys kind of frown on that sometimes, but I think
well,
it is an art.
It is an art. It's just like anything. You can do anything to whatever level you like to do it at, and you could be a surface iron guy that jumps on the San Diego and casts a Tatty 45, or you can be somebody that's crazed about it and rod and reel and seeing the fish and seeing the bird swoop one way and making a cast another way and turn it in like. And that's the same thing. You could go down to ECBT and pick up a dozen crawdads and pin a hook on one and chuck it off the bank, or you could do like Corey's talking about and see how the fish come on and off of a spot and the time of day and pressure and year and all those things that, you know, that get them there and putting a bait the way it's supposed to be and stitching. I mean, there's
it's a hunt.
It's a hunt for sure.
It truly is. Yeah, not to be said lightly.
Yeah, I dig it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to have some more killer stuff coming up in the next hour. Let's Talk Hookup. More from Kevin Mattson on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network.
Okay, we're here at beautiful Whalers Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska, with Mark Powers, owner and operator of the lodge, and Chris Martino, who's running the new kayak program here at Whalers Cove Lodge. Mark, tell us about this new kayak program.
Kayaking in Alaska was just a natural progression for us to move to. We've got the conventional saltwater charter fleet. We've got amazing freshwater systems and eco-tours. Kayak fishing has been something we've been watching for years. We've aligned with Hobie together a pretty amazing fleet.
Well, we've got tons of options. We've got a couple locations around the inshore area where we have kayaks staged. We've also got inflatables up in some of our freshwater systems. So we've got an opportunity to fish the lingcod, the halibut, all the five Pacific salmon species, you know, Dolly Varden and cutthroat trout.
There's a dedicated page just for the kayak program on the website, whalerscovelodge.com.
I've experienced that freshwater fishing here as well as the saltwater fishing, and I can imagine fishing from a kayak has got to be just incredible.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know, it's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Happy holidays from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Nothing could be better for that saltwater angler on your list than a gift from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. We have the best Shimano has to offer, including Talica, Trinidad, Tranks, Terramar, Colt Sniper, Torium, Flatfall, and the all-new Speedmaster Lever Drag 2-Speed Reel. We have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater tackle and the knowledge to help you pick out that perfect gift. Check out saltwatertackle.com or come by and see us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Pass the gravy on Thursday and skip the madness on Friday. The Better Black Friday Sellathon is on all weekend long at your San Diego County Ford dealers. It's not just better. With huge savings on a huge selection, it's the best place to be this Black Friday weekend. Now lease Ford Escape for only $219 per month with only $999 due at signing. That's the capable and comfortable Ford Escape for only $219 per month. Hurry in or miss out. The Better Black Friday Sellathon is on now, but not for long. See your San Diego County Ford dealers today. Example 2019 Escape SE FWD 208. Due at signing is after 3250 RCL. Customer 250 select RCL and 2003 assist cash. Vehicles eligible for select RCL cash must have arrived at dealership at least 61 days prior to sale. Supply is limited. Trade assist requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after the retail delivery. Customer must have owned vehicle for a minimum of 30 days. Not all will qualify for Ford credit red carpet lease. Payments may vary. Dealer determines price. Residency restrictions apply. Lessee responsible for excess wear and mileage over 31,500 miles at 15 cents per mile. Offers end 12/2/19. See dealer for qualifications and fleet details.